Every praise, every worship is unto your God, is unto me, the Lord is saying to us. Every word of worship is unto your God. But I would say to you and remind you that every word should be a word of worship. Every word should release my grace unto the hearer. Every word should be unto me, and every word should be off me. My children, take heed. I tell you, worship me in spirit and worship me in truth. Let my truth be in your words, in your mouth. Let the words of your mouth be a worship unto me, and let the words of your mouth release my glory from inside you, around you. Then truly I will be with you every day as your Savior, as your deliverer. And I will save you and deliver you from every challenge that's coming up on the world, that's coming up on the earth. For truly, these are the times I spoke of as the era of reality. Even today, even right now, today, we see the beginning of the next 5 years. We see Saudi Arabia and Iran at each other, Pakistan and India at heightened alert. We see Russia in the Ukraine. We see North Korea setting off a bomb, a nuclear bomb, claiming it to be a hydrogen bomb. We see these things happening even right now. Even in these last 2 days, terrorist action have occurred in this country. This is the era of reality. But fear not, for I am your God. I am your Savior. I am your deliverer. And every word is a word of worship unto me. And I will deliver you. And I will be with you. And I will never leave you nor forsake you. And my glory shall be in you. And my glory shall be upon you. And my glory shall flow out of you. For every word out of your mouth is a word of worship. Thus saith the Lord unto us. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to go into some worship. And after the worship, Bishop Arnold is going to come up and have his ways led by the Spirit of God. So this is kind of a very short introduction. First of all, I want to greet from the back here, Pastors Joseph and Jan Hrivnak. Just kind of wave your hand there. Both are mighty, mighty powerful in the work of the Lord. And Pastor Jan, you know, from Healing School, she's the lady who put the roast in the oven with no gas and went back and was cooked. So she's the cookie without the fiery, okay? Okay, there's the woman we can emulate, right? That's how you cook in the ending days. Amen, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. We're blessed tonight to have here 13 pastors and evangelists in the service right now. 13, okay? It's a wonderful blessing. So praise God. We're going to go into worship, and then at the last song, Bishop Arnold will come forward. Amen? Amen? Oh, I want to tell you about Bishop Arnold. You all know about his power in the Lord and his ministry, okay? I mean, God called him to hold, not his words, my word, Christian/Messianic conferences and convention around the world. Around the world. I mean, think about that. Think of scheduling one every 2 months, every 3 months in a different country, in a different continent. How would you do that? I don't know how he does it, but God does. It has to be by the power of the Holy Spirit. Am I right? Amen. It's got to be. But what you don't know is he's an accomplished musician and a tremendous dancer. Amen. Okay. Okay. You ought to see him. His prayer just goes into dance, okay? Okay. I don't think there's a difference between his praying before the Lord and his dancing before the Lord. They just merge together. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Shalom to everybody. Baruch Hashem. I think let's continue praising the Lord. That's why we are here. Shall we all stand again, please? Just lift up your hands and worship Him. He alone is worthy to be praised. He alone is worthy to be praised in this place. Standing in the presence of the Lord in this place. Hallelujah. Just praise Him with your mouth. Praise Him, church. Praise Him.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let's proclaim His majesty in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You are worthy, Lord. Ilanare, itakuna na harare.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Adonai. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Baruch haShem. Let's have a moment of silence. Just listen to His voice. Just allow the Lord to minister to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise you, Adonai. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Speak to your people. Hallelujah. Shall we have a moment of prayer for one another? Just by two, please. Just by twos. Let's pray for one another. Get your prayer partner. Pray for that brother. Pray for that sister. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. He knows you personally. He knows your struggle. He knows your situation. He knows about you. And we cannot hide because He knows us personally. Just open up your heart to Him. Hallelujah. I'm sure that you will agree with me that a lot of things are happening in the entire world. And I praise God because Pastor Joshua mentioned about those nations that having a lot of problem. Silently, America is in big trouble, you know that. And if we'll not be aware about what's going on, it will be too late for us to understand the situation. So, while we still have time, we need to pray more. A lot of Christians, they don't pray. That's the problem. And I praise God because Pastor Joshua mentioned about prayer. And the most neglected ministry actually in the church now is prayer. Because they focus on so many things, but they never teach their people how to pray. So there are a lot of questions that you could hear, but few answers, too much question, but only few answers that we could receive, church. The problem today is uncontrollable. This is the time for us to understand that Christianity is a very hot topic today. You know, we know that. Even here in America, I receive a letter from the government. Because in our church, we are using a hospital auditorium. Sometimes we cannot control ourselves to mention things that are not supposed to be mentioned in the pulpit. But at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, every TV and every room should automatically be on our station. There are around 1,000 people watching us in that Elmhurst Hospital. That's why we're kicked out from that place now. Because they asked me to change the way we preach. They said, why don't you make it like a Catholic way? I said, I cannot. I told them I cannot. Why cannot just worship like the Catholic do? I said, no, we cannot. So better live rather than to compromise. So we moved to another place, but not the area that we want to minister. And they sent me a letter that before I preach, if I could give my notes of preaching, if they will screen it. And one thing is because that hospital is a government hospital, so you know what I mean. Now in New York, you cannot preach against gays and abortion and many things. And we need to teach our people why we don't like it. But they don't want us to do that. So now we moved to another place. And of course, the mission of ministers is always to proclaim the truth, the gospel. This is what we do all over the world. Actually, I be traveling this coming 29th of January, going to the Philippines. And the Philippines will be ministering every day. And I mentioned this to Pastor Joshua, if he could come with the group, because we'll be going to one island to minister. A lot of schedules. Then from the Philippines, I stay there for a week. Then we'll go to Malaysia. I'll go to Singapore. Then back to the Philippines to visit some islands. Then again, we'll go to Hong Kong and Macau. Then back to the Philippines and come back to New York on March 9. Then March 11, we'll be traveling again. Just replacing all the dirty clothes with a new one. And go to Trinidad and Tobago to be there for a week. This is what we do. If we will not evangelize, Muslim will do it for us. Remember that. You know what I mean? In our area where I live now, you could see that every afternoon, families of Muslims are walking in the street, chanting. Yeah. They're praying that Christianity will turn to Muslim. Actually, Muslim is a person. Islam is the religion. So that's what I do now. And there's a small Mecca in Queens now. That's very close to Jamaica State. Now, this is the situation that we're facing right now. But sad because still some Christians are sleeping. You should be sleeping giant, not sleeping all the way. And some are snoring. When you're snoring, it means you don't care about the situation around you. Amen? Because your snoring is louder than the problem outside. Amen? So let me go straight to the message, which is the Christianity is a very hot issue today. My desire is that you will gain a realistic picture of the spiritual life at work, and that you will begin to apply that knowledge to your life. And we need to get started, we need to move forward, because if not, it will be too late for us to see what's going on in this nation, church. Now, what is your spiritual perspective when it comes to this kind of situation, church? What is your spiritual perspective? What is your perspective regarding your spirituality or being a Christian or being born again? Do you know your accountability before God? So I mentioned a while ago, if we will not evangelize the world, Muslim will do it. Who else? Mormons will do it. Who else? Jehovah's Witness will do it. Cult will do it. They are more active than Christians. I just came from Israel. Then from Israel, I returned to New York. I stayed there for 10 days. Then I went to Italy, to Rome. I went to Greece, which I love Greece so much. When I went to Greece to visit the second missionary journey of Apostle Paul, the more that I received fire from God, I even saw the jail where they were, the jail where they experienced, you know, the miracle from the Lord. And I saw everything. And I didn't know that there were 50,000 Jews that were killed from Thessaloniki. And I went to the place. As I saw the place, I said, boy, these are the people that being hated because of the Lord. Remember that. Not because of they are rich. They are being persecuted. You know why? Because God revealed to the Jewish people about the kingdom of God. Imagine, even the government of America is trying to divide Jerusalem because they hate the Jews because of one thing, because they are the chosen people of God. Now we are being warned that wherever we go, if the situation is saturated with Muslims, don't use this. Don't put a chit-chit like this that I am wearing, because we are subject to kill. But here I could wear this, right? Because you love the Jewish people. And I am a Sephardic because my parents came from Spain. That's why my family name is Cabal. Quinto Cabal came from the Kabbalah, which is means search of the scriptures, study of the scriptures. Quinto means five. So the meaning of my family name is the study of the five books of Moses. That's the family name, so that you'll know I'm a Chinese-looking guy, but because of my mom. But my father is from Spain, a Jewish, who changed the family name because of the time of Spanish Inquisition. And I didn't know that I was a Jew. I thought all the while that I was a Chinese and Filipino. And I discovered it when one rabbi asked me to give my name so that they could check, because rabbis usually don't want to partner with the goy or goyim or Gentile when they baptized. So that time, the next day, a day before, they asked our name to write in a piece of paper. So there were five bishops who joined the conference, international conference in Israel. So I gave my name. And the evening came, the rabbi called me, Bishop, come here. Do you know that you are a Jew? No, I am a Chinese Filipino. No, you are. Then he explained to me everything, that you will be my partner tomorrow as I baptize in Jordan River. Okay. So I searched the history, and our tribes is tribe of Benjamin. Praise God for that. So, why do I need to tell this to you? Can I know who are the ministers, evangelists that are here? Okay. Amen. Praise God for the man of God. You know, that calling is a special calling. I'm telling you. That's why one of my model is Apostle Paul. When I went to Greece, visited those places, Philippi, Thessaloniki, Lystra, Kavala, and actually the Bible says in Acts 17:11, Berea, but in Greece they call it Varea, and I was able to preach at the place of the synagogue where Apostle Paul preached. Yeah, I met the pastor there. But the way the synagogue now is being run by Christians, a Messianic Jew. Yeah, and praise God for that. That's why one of my projects for next year, this year, will be going back to Greece this November 13, 2016. My project is to bring scroll and also to bring a big menorah in that synagogue. Yeah. So this is the current situation. Now, what is your point of view about what's going on in this world? You won't believe it. I'll tell you something. In New York, people are buying a lot of groceries. They stock those things. I said, Why do you do that? Because there will be a great chaos in New York soon. That's according to them. As you know, it's every time that you'll take the subways, you need to pray hard. Yeah, you need to pray hard because like our brothers and sisters in New York, when they take the subway, they always pray hard because they don't know what will happen. Yeah, because our place in New York is really very hot right now. There are a lot of not only police, but some armies also, and some busy areas. That's what's going on now in our place. That's why we need to pray hard for that. So I ask, what is your point of view? What is your perspective regarding your spirituality, being a Christian? So what is the proper relative position of your understanding regarding your relationship to Christ, Jesus, our Savior? Now another question, how is Jesus Christ in your life? How is Jesus Christ in your life? Is it better than life? Or do you trust Him in everything? Do you trust the Lord than the people around you? If you're in the midst of problems, are you still in your right perspective? When you are distracted or troubled? Is your God better than your possession? Better than what you have? Or is He the God of possibilities? Is it really true that with God all things are possible? Some of us might say, I am a Christian, how come I'm still confused about my life as a Christian? I'm sure you're familiar with that question. Whom do I trust? People or God? The other question is, how do I handle my relationship with God? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, and can I invite you to stand up to give reverence to the Word of God? Let's read, if you have your Bible with you, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, Christ is both founder and finisher of the Christian faith. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the universe and our Abba, in the names of all above the names, Jesus Christ, Yeshua Messiah, the Anointed One, the lily of the valley, the rose of Sharon, the bright morning star, the bread of life, and the sacrifice lamb will take away the sins of this world. In the presence of your Holy Spirit, Ruach HaKodesh, Lord, we want to thank you for our salvation. Lord, we want to thank you for eternal life. And we want to thank you, Lord God, for gathering us in this place today. Lord, I pray, as we proclaim your word, Lord, we know that it will not return void and it will accomplish the purpose of preaching the word of God without compromise, Lord. I pray, Lord God, that you'll speak to our heart. And I pray that spirit of brokenness will come upon this people, your people, Lord God. Father, just use me to be your mouthpiece. Use me, Lord, to relay your heart to all the saints that are here today. Father, we thank you, Lord. We bless you. In the name of Yeshua, Jesus Christ, we pray. And everybody will say, Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's all be seated. Why we need to have right understanding of God's Word of God today. Church, we are on 2016. And I believe that this is the time for us to get into the Word of God seriously. Have time to read. Have time to pray. If you want God to talk to you, you read His Word. If you want to talk to God, you pray. Simple as that. If you could talk to your friends, if you could text to your friend, I want you to talk to God more. Right? Actually, this phone that we have right now is because of technology. Sometimes it distracts our prayer life. Reading of the Word of God, especially when you have somebody that you text, you know, and the conversation is very exciting, and instead of focusing unto the Lord, we focus on something else, church. So to live this life effectively, we must keep our eyes upon Jesus. But when we look away from Him and ourselves, look at ourselves or the circumstances around us, we stumble. So we must know both who we are in Christ and how to relate to our fellow human beings. Church, grounding our spiritual life is important. You know, the reality of the Word of God is so important for all of us Christians. If you are one of those Christians that don't have a quiet time, I think you better start one after this preaching. Quiet time is important for all of us. That is the time that you understand the heartbeat of God, church. The only way to understand the situation is to understand the heart of God. The only way to know what's going on is to know the Word of God, because the Word of God proclaimed 2,000 years ago what will happen today. The true picture of the situation that we're facing today is in Matthew 24. That is the real picture of what's going on. King against kings, government against government, everything that is written in that chapter is what is happening at present time, church. It's so important to be grounded with the Word of God. And what is important here is your foundation when it comes to the Word of God. Don't allow to go out without reading the Word, without talking to God. If not, it's so hard to live without God, especially today. You don't know what will happen tomorrow. Do you know? We don't know. But once we learn to trust God, you don't care what will happen outside, because you know that you're under the wings of God, under the protection of God, church. Amen? And you came here without any hesitation, I am sure, because the Holy Spirit brought you here. You did not question why you need to come to Pastor Joshua's place and Sister Sarah's place, because Holy Spirit was the one who brought you here today. Because God will do something in your life today, I believe so. Amen? Now, what is your perspective about people, church? About people around you. What is your perspective about those people? Is it the right perspective or not? In Deuteronomy 6, verse 5 says, thou shalt love the Lord with what? Thy God with? Okay. Actually, I do research a lot of things about the word, all of my heart. How many heart do you have? So don't use all. Whole. W-H-O-L-E. Thy whole heart. Okay, not all. All means there are five or you have six hearts. I made a research for that. I said, Lord, is this right? So when I read the Hebrew Bible, that was the time that I understand. It says whole heart because we have only one heart. It should be your whole heart should love the Lord. Amen? It's also with all soul. Thy soul, because you have only one soul. With all mind, no. With thy mind, because you have only one mind. It says that all thy strength, amen. So thou shalt love thy neighbor for as thy soul. So many talk a right perspective where others are concerned. Some hold ill feelings and resentment some depend too much on others, ministers, doctors, friends, loved ones. Means they rely on people rather than God. But today I tell you one thing. This is the time for us to rely on God 100%. 100%. As I can't sing because the lyric itself ministered to me. As we do worship, I just close my eyes and listen to the lyrics. And those lyrics is enough for me to trust God more. Not to depend on myself, but to depend on the Lord 100%. God must have first place in our lives, and we should love others, appreciate the assistance and kindness we receive from other people. When was the last time that you say, Lord, I need to thank my pastor for praying for me? When was the last time that you approached your sister and said, Sister, thank you for interceding for me? When was the last time that you approached your brother or your sisters telling them, thank you for helping me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Do you know that word is enough for that brother and sister? Not only to feel better, but to glorify God. Amen? Praise God for that. But we must put our ultimate faith and trust in God. Remember this, He never fails. Amen? I'm sure you believe that He never fails. Amen? In the book of Psalms 118, verse 8 and 9, verse 8 and verse 9 says, it is better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in man. Amen? It's a true word. Verse 9 says, it is better to take refuge in Him than in the mightiest king. You know how pilots trust their planes. Amen? And commuters trust train in New York. Or you trust your car. That you trust your friend, that your friend could bring you to, you know, a certain place. Like this afternoon, Pastor James picked me up and I trust him to bring me at this place today. If you could trust those people, how much more when it comes to God? Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Are you willing to trust God to guide you here on earth? Your eternal life, the eternal destination? Or do you trust Him more than any human being? If not trusting God, the question is why not? Is there any reason why you cannot trust God? I don't think so, right? Yeah, that's about perspective when it comes to people. How about your problem? What is your perspective when it comes to problem? Church. Let's go to 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Says, cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. This is the same cry of King Jehoshaphat during the time that they have problem. King Jehoshaphat teach also his people how to cry unto the Lord, church. How to trust God. You know, this is the problem of some Christians. They pray. They give problem to God. Amen? And for a while, if they cannot receive answer, they take it away again. Lord, give me that because you cannot solve the problem. Right? And some of us, when we have problem, what do? You sleep with your problem. What else do you do? You bring your problem in that office at home. Amen? What else do you do? You entertain your problem. Amen? So when you have problem, you are irritable. Your children cannot talk to you, even your husband cannot talk to you because you will shout. Amen? So when you have problem, the Bible is teaching us something here. Cast all your cares on Him because He cares for you. Amen? You know, when we have problem, there is a solution. We know that. Don't bring home your problem. Sometimes when you have problem, you eat too much. Sometimes you do forced fasting. You don't want to eat. Amen? What else do? When you have problem, You're exhausted. You cannot function well. But the Bible is telling us the solution to avoid those kind of problems, those kind of situation. Cast all your cares on the Lord, church. You know, I have this title of my preaching, Worries Become the Problem. You know, sometimes when people ask me, why do you worry? Because I have problems. But later on, it will do the opposite. Your worry now is your problem. Before you worry because of your problem. Now, at the end, it's different. But God is giving us the solution. Why don't we just go straight to the Lord and give it to God and that's it? This is my advice to you. If you have a problem, get a beautiful box. Put that problem inside the box. And buy the most expensive gift wrapper. And put the beautiful ribbon and give it to God as a gift. Don't give it back because that's your gift to God. And God will take care of everything. That's the best way to do. Amen?
Amen.
You should have the right perspective when it comes to the Word of God, church. It says we cannot escape from the problem. We must face up to our problem. God will not give the problem if we cannot handle it. Remember what the Bible says, my grace is sufficient for you. This is how to face the problem. It says, my grace is sufficient. First, it says, the only way that you could solve is first, we need to recognize them for what they are. So try to recognize the problem. What is my problem? When you ask people, what's your problem? I don't know. How could you solve the problem if you don't know the problem? Right? Are you familiar with that answer? What's your problem? I don't know. What's going on? I don't know. Always, I don't know. Second is seek solution for them. Our faith in God's help can bring a right perspective. So we must trust the Lord 100%. You know, God is a good problem solver. He could solve everything. Like this story, I don't know if you heard this story. This story about this young man who's driving a car on the freeway. Suddenly, the car, the engine stopped. So he needed to pull over. And this young man opened the hood and tried to fix the car. And suddenly, an old person pulled over and opened the door and tried to approach the young man. Young man says, can I help you? And this young man said, I don't need your help, old man. I can do this. So the old man didn't leave yet, but he decided just to go to his car, sit on the trunk, and just watch. And he noticed that this guy is trying his best to solve the problem, that engine. And the old man approached again, says, can I help you? I told you, old man, I don't need your help. I can do it. So, again, this old man returned to his car and sat again on the trunk. He noticed that it's almost getting dark. He noticed that this young man is getting irritated. He kicking the tire, kicking the, you know, the door, you know, those things, and banging everything. Said, for the last time, young man, can I offer you a help? Okay. And this old man told this young man, okay, when I tell you, go inside your car. When I tell you, start, start it. He just checked something. He said, start. Then the car start. So the old man walking, going to his car, and as he opened the door, this young man ran and asked, sir, may I know your name? And this old man said, what is that car made of? Ford. And this old man, I am Mr. Ford. Whatever problem you have in that car, I could solve it because I am the one who invented that. Like us, we're created by God. We're made by God, not created. We're made by God. And God can fix everything about us. Amen?
Amen.
No question. Church, that is important for us to see that point of view. Hallelujah. Also in Psalms 62 verse 8 says, "O my people, trust Him all the time. Pour out your longings before Him, for He can help." Amen. When you have your problem, come to the Lord. When you have about prospective people, come to the Lord. Third is about your possession, wealth, money, my home, my family, and a lot of things. Luke chapter 12, verse 15 says, "A man's life consisted not in the abundance of the things which he possessed." You know, today's affluent society, millions are overly concerned about materialistic pursuits. The more they get, the more they want. They want to have more, to have much. They're afraid about their future. It's so hard for us Christians. I'm not against money because money, we need money. But the problem here is for the love of money. Amen? If your security is on your possession, that's a problem, church. I'm not saying to possess material things is bad. It is bad if your trust is in your material possession rather than God. So don't allow material things to possess you. Amen? If the demon can possess you, don't allow the material things to possess you too. Right? Allow yourself to be possessed by God. I'm telling you, I've been traveling like what Pastor Joseph said. Last year, we traveled 17 countries. I don't know how I was able to do it, but God sustained us tremendously. If you'll ask me, I might be a millionaire. I'm telling you the secret. If that is the will of God for you, God will supply. It is proven. Proven 100%. If God will tell me to go to a certain place, I will start praying. This is important for us. That's why I cannot wear shorts, because my knees, there's a spot here. The color is so black, so I cannot. Prayer is part of my life. Like in our church, we're teaching our people to pray. Starting Monday up to Saturday, up to 16th, everybody will do fasting for the government, for the body of Christ, for families, you know, for nations where we belong. We are dedicating a one-week prayer, especially for those who are in the persecuted countries. So prayer is so important, church. Says that material things do not bring lasting security or happiness. They wear out, rust out, and deteriorate. Yes, we need money to live, but don't allow money to rule your life. Learn how to rule the money. Amen?
Yeah.
But some of us, they don't know how to use or to be a good steward when it comes to the blessings of the Lord. And I praise God because your pastor is teaching you how to be a good steward, which is the major thing that we should understand the present situation, especially today, church. Hallelujah. Church, it says that while a reasonable amount of money is so necessary to live, still, I believe, spiritual things remain most important. Amen. Getting a right perspective involves our stewardship. If you have plenty, why don't you help others? Amen? If you have plenty, it's time to reach out to others. You know why even Christians I don't want to say this, but I need to. Some pastors now are becoming Muslims. Yeah. Because Muslims are offering money to them. Yeah, you won't believe it. Why I know it? Because they're traveling in different parts of this world. And this guy told me that, you know, that pastor now is a Muslim. Really? Why? Because Muslims, while they're having a congregation, Muslim will come to you and give you, he'll support you. Then, as they support you later on, they will get you. That is what they're doing right now. So if you have plenty, support them so that they will not be tempted. Like in some places that I visit, how could you afford to send your children to school if the tithing that you receive is one dozen of eggs, one chicken, and that is just enough for them to have their food, right? So now, what we do is this, and it's like me, I always seeking God when it comes to support. I'm supporting 57 pastors at present time, giving them $1,500. How much is that? $30? Yeah, around $30 per person a month. So that's what I am doing. And I praise God, you know. God is faithful. So I'm always asking our congregation, this is the time for all of us really to support all the missionaries in the world. We know what's going on now. They're being beheaded for the sake of the gospel. Women, children are being raped for the sake of the gospel. 2 years ago, I attended the International Missionary Conference in Korea. There were 3,800 missionaries who attended. And I was able to meet a lot of Muslims who are now Christians. And some of them have churches on those places that we read in the newspaper. Some of them. And I was able to talk to them personally. They told me that, Bishop, please pray for us because we're facing a very critical situation in our country. Say, 92% are Muslims and 8% are Christians. Look what happened to Bethlehem. Before there were 85% Christians. But now it's the reverse. Only 15% Christians and 85% are Muslims. And Bethlehem. So you know what's going on now in that place. I just came from there. From Bethlehem, House of Bread. This is what's happening now. Because of fear, they turn to be a Muslim. But I am encouraging you to pray for those people. Pray for them, you know. If you could support them, that will be a big help to these people. Church, we should have a right perspective. If you have plenty, support those people. And if you have plenty also, say Christ. Learn to share Christ to other people. That is what the Great Commission is all about. Amen? Commission means that Jesus Christ is your co-worker. You're doing the same mission. Like He's my co-worker. He's my co-employee. It means that you're working together. Amen? I remember this two Chinese who enrolled in one Bible school. And the professor asked, if your name is in the Bible, please raise your hands. These two Chinese guy raised their hands. And everybody laughed. Somebody said, I don't see any Chinese man name in the Bible. Even the professor was smiling. Says, are you sure that your name is in the Bible? And the Chinese guy, yes, we're sure. My name is Go, and his name is Yi. Right? They're in the Bible. Amen. So it's important to to get the right perspective when it comes to stewardship, church. John chapter 6, verse 27 says, "But you should not be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that I am, the Messiah, can give you. For God, says the Father, sent Son with a very good purpose. That is to give us life." Amen. So, about possibilities, let's talk about possibilities. Matthew 19, verse 26 says, "With God, all things are possible." Even in Mark 9, verse 23 says, "All things are possible to him that believe." Today, many people are pessimistic. They're very negative wherever you go. Some people saying that, "Is there really God?" Like this story about the barber and the pastor. Have you heard about it? So the pastor went to a barber shop, and while the barber's cutting the hair of the pastor, the barber told the pastor, "I don't believe that there is God." So the pastor, "Oh, there is God." Then the barber said, "If there's God, why are there a lot of drug addicts?" The pastor said, "There is God." Then the barber asked him, if there is God, why they are poor, they are rich? There are a lot of problems. There's no God." And the pastor said, "There is God." Then, you know, during the time, they have the razor, right? So, but they don't have that electric shaver during those times. So when it's time for the barber to shave, like, "Pastor, there's no God." So the pastor was so quiet because that's the time for the barber to shave. Maybe the pastor could cut his ears or whatever. They just remain quiet. And I'm sure that you'll agree with me, guys, that after cutting your hair, you look yourself at the mirror, and the way you look at yourself, you're the most handsome guy in the whole world. So after cutting hair and wait for a while, he noticed that there's no customers. He invited the barber to come to have a coffee. While they were walking, the pastor told the barbers that, "I don't believe that there's a barber around us. I just cut your hair. That was a while ago." Says, "If there is a barber, why, how come, look at the hair of that guy. Long hair and short hair, short hair. And you know, they look ugly. Look at those guys. They look ugly." You know, this is what the barber told the pastor. "Do you know why they look ugly? Because they don't come to me to cut their hair." And the pastor said, "You know why they have that kind of life? Because they don't go to God to fix their life." Amen? Amen? Amen. It's time for us to come to Him. Amen? All things are possible to those who trust God. Amen? Hallelujah. Church, those pessimistic, they see only the dark side and the negative side of life. This kind of people are unfulfilled and unhappy. And the Word of God says that we must look for the good. Try not to improve on the bad side, on the bad things. Improve on the good things. You know, like when you go to the doctor, I'll use this as an example. Most of us, we go to the medical doctor. Am I right? Do you go to the medical doctor? That is usually what happens. But don't go to the medical doctor because they always give you medicine. That's why they are medical doctor. My advice is go to the health doctor because they will check your health. That's the best way. Health doctor will tell you which organ is weak, and they will make that organ strong, but not through medicine. I have a friend, a doctor in the Philippines. He's famous, a Spanish doctor, Chutico, Dr. Chutico. And every time that there's a client that will come to, patients that come to his clinic, he will ask, What do you want me to do to you? The first class treatment or second class treatment? And I just want the second class treatment. Oh, this guy, he's now a pastor. Doctor will tell him, you know, second class treatment is expensive, but first class treatment is not expensive, it is free. What do you mean, doctor? Because first class treatment, I will pray for your healing. And second class treatment, I'll use the medicine to heal you. So you will pay me a lot. So which one do you want now? First class treatment or second class treatment? Because I have just be an instrument, because the first class treatment is Jesus Christ will be the physician to heal you. I like that person. Now he don't have a clinic anymore. He's pastoring a church now. Like Dr. Luke. Good, right? Amen. Hallelujah. Just focus on the good things, not on the bad things. Church, everyone can do something for God if he tries. Each can smile, right? And I went to one church as I entered in the church. It seems that I'm not a Christian. Nobody smiles at me. I feel that there's a rejection in the church. But if you will welcome everybody with a smile, it means that this is the church of God, because I could feel the love of God in this place. Amen? And if you have the love of God, you could do that. If you don't have the love of God, you cannot do that. That's why for us, we need to have a right perspective. It brings help for the life of others. And church, remember this. A lot of people now are hurting. I'm telling you. A lot of people are hurting. And you know the answer. You have the answer. Amen. Have you noticed even some Christians don't come to church anymore? Because they experience bad in the church. Reach them out. Pray for them. Give them comfort. Church. All things are possible. We know that if we come to the Lord. Let me read to you just a few scriptures and then I will end. John 14, verse 1, verse 2, and verse 3. Says, let not your heart be troubled. You are trusting God. Now trust in me. There are many homes up there where my Father lives, and I am going to prepare them for you. Did you see that? Says that for your coming, when everything is ready, then I will come and get you, so that you can always be in me where I am. If this weren't so, I would not tell you plainly. Church, you should have a right perspective in everything. It says, trust God in everything. You are facing life every day. It is like a daily race, church. But that race is not your race. It is God's race, church. You must keep Him in sight always. If you want to finish the race, always focus unto the Lord. Look full in His wonderful face, I'm telling you. Just look upon Jesus. That's why in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, keep your eyes on Jesus, our leader. Instructor, he is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Church, have a right perspective in life. Throughout the day, we should look away from every other object. Keep our focus on him. We must have that complete trust in the Lord, because the promises of God is for you and me. There is a scriptures that always people quote. That is in John 14:14. But they focus on 14:14. Says, anything that you ask in my name, I will do it. But there is a strong scriptures before that. That is verse 13. Anything that you ask in my name, I will do it, if it will glorify the Father. That is the most important part there. If it will glorify the Father, church. So we know that Because of Christ, we can finish the race. He's the finisher of our faith, church. He not only began the race, but he finished it triumphantly. For him, the race course stretched from heaven to Bethlehem, then on to Gethsemane to Calvary, then out of the tomb, back to heaven. At no time did the Father turn back. Church, remember this. God is here. Remember that. The God that we worship is here. Just keep your eyes on peace. Your eyes upon Jesus, His coming Son. His coming Son. No doubt about that. His coming Son. We're all the redeemed and we'll be gathered again to be with Him eternally. This enabled Him to think nothing of shame, says to endure suffering and death. And we know that today He's still seated on the right hand of the Father, seated on the throne. And I want you to see why He's seated there, to intercede for the saints, for the unity of the saints. We know that Jew and Gentiles are now one, no separation. And that is because of Yeshua, Jesus Christ. He's seated there, praying for you, brother. Praying for you. Praying for all of us. Are you not happy and blessed? Because the God who came to this earth, John 1:14, went back to the Father with heart of prayer for all of us. Don't lose your perspective, but always focus unto the Lord. No matter what happened, God will not leave you nor forsake you until the end of this age. Church, remember that. The God Messiah, we called it Emmanuel, God with us. And today, I believe in my heart that God will minister to all of you. Just stand up before the Lord. Just close your eyes and lift up your hand. Hallelujah. Just have a right perspective in life. He is the only one. There is none like Him. The only trusted one, the Messiah, our Emmanuel, our El Shaddai, El Gibor, mighty God. The God who provides, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi, our victory. Hallelujah. Slip up your hands. Holy Spirit, minister to your people. Lord, you know the desire of their heart tonight. Lord, I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit minister to each one of them. Just praise Him. Just praise the Lord. Hallelujah. From the bottom of your heart, please. Hallelujah. Yes. Pain are being removed. Confusion are being fixed. Hallelujah. Just praise, just praise, just praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, minister. Lord, let your Holy Spirit minister in this place right now. God is touching you in a very special way. Hallelujah. Let the anointing flow in this place right now. Flow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Just praise Him. Just praise the Lord. Just praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Let's lift our hands and I will release the Abrahamic blessing and pray also the Aaronic blessing. Hallelujah. Just lift up your hands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Adonai. Praise you. Eberekeka Adonai beyashmerecha. Yei Adonai panaveleka veyoneka. Yes Adonai panaveleka veyashemleka shalom. May the Lord bless you and guard over you. May the Lord shine his countenance upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord favor you and grant you shalom. Lord, I pray that you'll release your Abrahamic blessing to your people. For is Abraham, because we are followers of Jesus. And I pray, Lord God, that anything that they touch, it will prosper. Because that is your covenant with Abraham. And we are heirs of Abraham, and that is also your covenant, Lord God, to your people. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you bless, Lord, Pastor Joshua and Sister Sarah. May they continue, Lord God, doing the work for God alone. And bless them as you bless the leaders and the congregation. Lord, I pray that you bless each family that are represented here today. Bless them, protect them, give them good health and prosperity. As we go on a separate ways, I pray that your Holy Spirit will go with us, Lord. Your Ruach HaKodesh will be with us forever. Father, we thank you, Lord. We bless you. Because your presence is here, Lord God. We want to thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you for touching your people in this place. Thank you, Lord God, for blessing this ministry, Pastor Joseph and Sarah, so that they could continue, Lord God, the work, especially, Lord God, to touch the body of Christ. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. We give you praise, honor, and glory. In the name of Yeshua, Jesus Christ, we pray, and everybody will say,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Shabbat shalom to everybody. Amen.